Special thanks to you guys for letting me on Moose Knuckle Radio. Peace.
Don Warren, Don Warren, man of order, man of control. Where is he now?
Welcome to Moose Knuckle Radio with your hosts, Don and Justin.
Now, Justin, of course, where can people find you? You're who, first of all?
I am Justin. I am a great guy.
Yes, you are.
I like smooth jazz. Sometimes I like to listen to Kenny Loggins to wind down after a long day. If that's something that interests you, you can follow me on Twitter at awesome82. But I don't use E's. It's AWSOM82.
You know, successful websites also don't use consonants, like Raptor, which is a very successful game tracking site.
EOnline.com?
I don't think that clarifies that. But okay. Justin, I am, of course, the Dean of Credibility, Double D. I am filling in for Don Warren. You can follow me at Folsom County, however, and this is Moose Knuckle Radio.
And you can follow us at Moose KE and
everything's
H-I-H-I-H-I-H-I.
Well, yeah, everything's available at HICTalkRadio.com. Go there.
.com.
Yes, it is a .com now. It is a .com. That was a nice trip down memory lane, Justin. I just have to say that. Back when things were so innocent.
Mm-hmm.
Back
back when we were just these young kids just trying to have fun, and then things got in the way.
Well, to lighten up the spirits a little bit more, we had a few deaths that happened this week. Actually, last week. But
what a way to lighten it up. We had deaths.
We did. Now, one of those deaths was, of course, John Panette. We'll get into that a little bit later on. But first of all, Mickey Rooney, Hollywood legend, died. And see, all this kind of got swept under the rug when Autumn Warrior died, and then there was the Nancy Grace thing. And so there was a lot of controversy surrounding the other deaths, you could say. And John Panette, and who was a great comedian, and we'll listen to a clip of his later on, but and Mickey Rooney, 80 years in Hollywood, Justin.
Yeah, that's an entertaining – I don't even know how to make a joke out of that. That's just amazing.
Well, here's a clip. This is when it was breaking news from a local L.A. station. We'll be back on the other side.
Breaking news. Showbiz legend Mickey Rooney has died at the age of 93. Cal 9's Brittany Hopper is joining us live from Hollywood at Rooney's Star on the Walk of Fame. Brittany, what a legacy he leaves.
That's right, Lisa, and I'm actually at just one of his stars. He has four in television, movies, radio, and theater. And as you can see, this star is with his wife, Jan. But let's show you some classic video of him. Now, Rooney's career spans nearly his entire life, and he has had one of the longest careers of any actor, working as a performer since he was a child. He was the first teenager to be nominated for an Oscar for his leading role in Strike Up the Band in 1940. Also in the 40s, Rooney and Elizabeth Taylor starred in one of the biggest movies, National Velvet, which launched Taylor's career. Now, Rooney most recently appeared in The Muppets in 2011, and he has appeared in more than 200 films. According to LAPD, Rooney died at 4:35 today of natural causes. Now, back here live at his star, many of his fans and people walking by here and just learning about his passing, calling him a legend. Again, he was 93 years old. We are live in Hollywood. Brittany Hopper, KCAL 9 News.
Okay, so 93 years old, a career that spans 80 years, and a Hollywood legend, Oscar-nominated, National Velvet put him on the map, put Elizabeth Taylor on the map as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, do you have anything to add about Mickey Rooney? His last appearance, of course, was 2011's The Muppets.
That was the good one, right?
It was the reboot.
Yeah, I haven't seen the latest one. I heard it's not, or if it's even out yet, I don't know. It doesn't. The latest one doesn't look as good. I haven't seen it yet. But yeah, he was in the Muppets. That was a good movie.
There you go. But many a film, over 200 films. Could you imagine that?
Mm-hmm.
Could you just imagine doing that many films? Of course, films back in the day, Hitchcock directed over, 70 films, I think it was, between England and America. So I think films were churned out a lot quicker.
Take Ed Wood, for example. He would write a movie in a day and then produce it the next day. I mean, he wouldn't make any money, but he would still do it.
Well, yeah, but who's the other one during the 60s? He made a lot of films. You know who I'm talking about.
Yes, I do, and he is our guest on the show later tonight, Christian Slater.
I'm not sure if Christian Slater will be here, and that's not who I was talking about. Roger something, Corman. Right?
Oh, yes.
Roger Corman, was that the guy? He made a bunch of movies?
Sounds familiar.
Doesn't it, though?
Yeah.
You're the movie guy. I'm asking you.
No, Dee, you're the movie guy. I'm the guy that fills in the gaps.
Well, I'm asking you to fill in the gaps. Let me look it up. I'm going to look up Roger Corman right now, see if that's who I'm thinking of.
And while you're doing that, I will be prepping questions for Christian Slater. And we also have another guest on tonight at the half of the hour. We have an independent actor, I believe, and he would correct me if I'm wrong, a SAG-qualified thespian, Mr. Sid O'Connell, and he will be on as a guest promoting his big movie that's coming out.
Was he that little guy that wrestled for New Moon?
No, that's Special Sid.
Special Sid. He won a championship, not to get on the independent scene, but he won a championship somewhere, I saw.
Well, I will challenge him for it, and I will take it from him.
That's how good I am. That would be amazing. Now, it was Roger Corman I was speaking of, and he started the careers of a lot of directors. Here's some that he – Francis Ford Coppola.
Really?
Battle Beyond the Sun. He was a director. Joe Dante, Hollywood Boulevard. Joe Dante went on to direct, I believe, Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I could be wrong. I could be wrong with that. He also, Martin Scorsese is another one. Gail Ann Hurd, you might know her from The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
She was a production assistant for Humanoids from the Deep. And, of course, Ron Howard. Who can forget Grand Theft Auto? Not connected with the video game.
I was thinking this is Spinal Tap, but we each think of Ron Howard in our own way.
Was he wasn't connected with...
No, I'm thinking Meatball or Meathead.
Yeah, you're thinking Meathead. But yeah. He got his start because his father was in the business. So.
Yeah, but what was Apollo 6? Apollo 13, that was Ron Howard, right?
Apollo 6.
Or was that Clint Howard?
No, that was... You throw me off sometimes. But it was Ron Howard that did direct that fine film that we're talking about. You know what I did today to save some money?
You went to Geico?
No.
Okay.
That would have taken 15 minutes. This took me about 5 minutes.
Okay.
I made my own coffee creamer. I am now drinking cinnamon vanilla coffee creamer, Justin.
Please tell me how you did that.
Well, you
it sounds interesting.
You use condensed sweetened milk.
Okay.
And,
like from a can?
Yeah. And along with that, some type of milk or cream. Cream if you want it thicker.
Mm-hmm.
I use 2% milk if people at home would
keeps,
like to know.
Keeps the cows.
Yeah, because that condensed milk, watch out, pal.
Yeah.
Watch out. There's a lot of calories. That's pure cow's milk.
Yep.
Right off the nipple. Now, moving along, what I did at that point, you have to add some sugar. I added some cinnamon and some vanilla extract. And now I have this wonderful, it tastes like a liquefied cinnamon bun, but without all the, you know, meaty bits.
That sounds delicious.
Doesn't it, though? And I made it myself, save some money. That's what we have to do, and that kind of goes into
our next topic. Not to cut off our next topic, but not to send you into a tantrum or anything.
Yes.
But that sounds like something somebody could do to save costs if they're on unemployment.
You
know, I know this is opening up a can of worms for you, Dean.
It is.
I know you feel strongly on this topic.
I do. Now, John Bonner, for those that don't know, you might remember him from a famous 2010 election night speech, rather.
And I seriously thought his name was Boner.
It's not. It's actually Bonner. But
his decisions alone made me think that. But then I saw how it was pronounced, and I really thought that. But
so here is John Bonner from election night 2010. We'll be back on the other side. It's about a minute and a half, and he's an emotional guy.
Listen, I hold these values dear because I've lived them. I've spent my whole life chasing the American dream. I started out mopping floors, waiting tables, and tending bar at my dad's tavern. I put myself through school, working every rotten job there was, and every night shift I could find. And I poured my heart and soul into running a small business. Touch Washington had become one of the core values of this great nation. I put my name forward and ran for office.
So that's John Bonner from election night.
Isn't he Canadian?
No. Behind the scenes, you sent that to me. And it just sounds funnier when you...
I thought he was, though.
No, he's from Ohio.
Who's that big, hard-ass Republican that's actually a Canadian? This is the guy from Texas, right?
I'm not sure. Is that legal? I thought you had to be a natural – or is that just
no,
president?
That's only president.
Well, yeah, because Schwarzenegger was governor of California, and he's not natural.
California.
President. So, interesting. It's very interesting. But here – here's my problem with Bonner. Now, it's been since December 28th, since unemployment benefits were abruptly cut off. At the time, I believe it was around 1.7 million Americans were affected by this, Justin. Mm-hmm. And since that time, the number has grown conservatively, and I don't mean that as a pun, but conservatively between 2.3 and 2.5 million. Each week, more and more are added to the long-term unemployment rolls. And the thing is, unemployment will go down simply because they're not counted anymore. Basically, what is going on now, you'll get your 26 weeks of unemployment.
Let me just clear something up real fast.
Sure.
Because a lot of people have this misconception. Unemployment is not a government benefit in the way that, say, you need assistance. And people's tax money goes towards that. Unemployment is an insurance plan that you buy into when you start working.
Yeah.
So it's your money that you're getting back.
Yeah. And everybody that works, at least on the books, pays into this.
Yes.
Your employer also pays into this general fund. If they have a high turnover, they pay more into this fund. You find these things out once you're unemployed. Exactly how it works and why employers can fight your appeals. Now, another thing that goes along with that, a lot of misconceptions are that people that are unemployed quit their jobs, or they didn't like their job, so they quit. They can collect unemployment. No, this is through no fault of your own.
If you quit, you can't be on unemployment.
No, period. End of story. They'll do it. Or if you're fired.
If you're fired, you can appeal, and if they'll look into the reasons on why you were fired, and then they may or may not give it to you. You may or may not win the appeal.
Exactly.
But if you quit, no, you're beat.
Exactly. Now, going along with that, if you're fired for misconduct, breaking an employer's rule without good cause, now there is good cause along with that, but if your job's eliminated, that it's a safety net.
Mm-hmm.
And during the Bush administration and during the first term of Obama's administration, this was never an issue, especially when unemployment rates are as high as they are now. However, it has become a political game. Now, last week, there was a bit of hope as Senators Reid and Heller put together a bipartisan bill, and it passed in the Senate. The final vote was 59 to 38, or whatever, 31, sorry. But it was 59 to 31, passed the Senate, goes to the House. Now, John Boehner, who is the Speaker of the House at this point, had this to say before his two-week vacation that he took. This is the last thing he did in Washington that day. So here we go.
So now I made clear to the President last December that, you know, if he wanted us to consider an extension of emergency unemployment benefits, would have to be paid for and would have to include things that would help get our economy going. They've not put forward anything with regard to how we would create more jobs. And so the ball's still in their court.
What kind of job creation package would maybe work for allowing UI to come to the floor?
You'll have to ask the administration. I made clear what it would take for me to consider it. They've not had any suggestions.
Your first thoughts that come to mind when you hear that, Justin?
After I take my hands off my face, because they're buried in my palm, or my face is buried in my palm, I hate this completely made-up idea of job creation that these diehards are leaning on, saying, oh, well, you know, and look, everyone, Dean, you know me. You know me. I'm not the biggest Obama supporter at all.
Not at all.
But you can't turn to the president and say, you need to create jobs. Okay, well, how about you as Congress and you as Senate motivate the economy so that way corporations can create jobs? That's kind of the way capitalism works. The president should stay out of that, because if he's getting his fingers inside the job market, then he's getting his fingers inside, you know, the whole market of what a capitalistic society is. So he's right for staying out of it. And
he can't do anything anyway. I've noticed people have said, why doesn't he just do an executive order? He can't in this case. And
what's he going to do? Create an executive order saying Walmart, Staples, Target, you know, Google, you all have to open up 10 million jobs each. Okay, so now he just created all of these jobs. So who's going to pay for these jobs?
Mm-hmm.
You know how much more these companies are going to have to make a profit in order to pay for these mandatory jobs? Now you're talking the federal government is mandating that if you open up a company, you have to have X amount of jobs. It's ludicrous.
I agree with that, but what people are saying is for him to sign an executive order to extend unemployment, which he can't do. That's not within his grounds. That would be a precedent that I wouldn't want to go down. Yeah, that's a precedent I don't want to go toward, and neither does he, and he can't. He can only sign a bill that has passed both houses of Congress. That is the most he can do right now.
There are certain things he could just kind of make go through. He's done it before. Bush has done it before. I mean, they all do it. where they come up with their own thing and then they just write it in with executive orders. But what, like, you can't just do, like you said, this is something that's already set into place. You can't just go, oh, well, I'm going to extend this way. You can't. It doesn't work that way.
Now, on the flip side, there are two senators, as I brought up earlier, and they actually brought this to the floor in December. December 18th is when the Reid-Heller bill came into being. And Reid actually went to the House floor after the Senate passed this. He goes to the House floor. He goes outside of his area to the House floor. He's a senator. He goes to the House, and he delivers this speech. Your thoughts, it's a little on the long side. It's about 4 minutes, but I want your thoughts, Justin, on the flip side. Just take a listen to this. This was last week.
All right.
Madam President, it's been 103 days since emergency unemployment insurance expired and 3 days since the Senate sent a bipartisan agreement to the House which would restore these benefits for 2.7 million Americans. These benefits are fully paid for and lift up the entire economy. And that's why the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office has estimated that failing to renew the benefits for a full year would cost the economy 200,000 jobs. We recognize our bill is a partial restoration, not a full year, but this restoration that we propose will increase jobs in the economy as attested for by CBO. Unfortunately, it appears that the House has no intent to take up the Senate-passed amendment to restore these benefits before they leave town for 2 weeks. That's right. If the House fails to pass what the Senate has passed on a bipartisan vote, and this was a bipartisan, fiscally responsible measure, and particularly in light of the Speaker talking about job creation, they'll be rejecting a portion of those 200,000 new jobs projected by the Congressional Budget Office, which is headed by their own appointee. And so, contrary to the criticism that our proposal does not create jobs, doesn't do anything for jobs, it does. And more importantly, it restores benefits to people who are desperately looking for work in a very difficult economy and who need these benefits to keep searching for work as well as supporting their families. So the Failure Act, in my view, is not defensible. Restoring these benefits is the right thing to do for job seekers and the smart thing to do for our economy. The very modest $300 a week average benefits, which our bill restores, helps workers stay afloat and cover the necessities they search for a job. That modest benefit gets pumped right back in the economy, like at the local supermarket or the gas station. It's just common sense. People will get this, I hope, this benefit, and they'll go right along and take care of the daily needs of life. They're not in a position to stash it away, mess with them, and they're not in a position to do anything but try to stay afloat in a very difficult financial circumstances. Unemployment remains stubbornly high in my state and across the United States. The March employment report, while positive, showed that we still have much more to do to strengthen our economic recovery, especially for the 10.5 million Americans looking for work, including the 3.7 million of the long-term unemployed. And again, this benefit we propose is particularly directed at these long-term unemployed Americans. That's why this is a critical effort in our attempts to restore our economy, restoring these benefits. We've never let these benefits lapse when long-term unemployment rate is higher than 1.3%, and today it's nearly twice that, roughly 2.6% of long-term unemployed. We have acted on a bipartisan basis, on a fiscally responsible basis, on a basis that recognized not only the needs of families, but the need to help further grow our economy. Now it's time for the House to act that way, responsibly, both fiscally and responsibly to our neighbors and our constituents, and on a bipartisan basis, to get this bill done quickly and get it to the President. So it is my hope that the House of Representatives stops blocking this. This is fully paid for, fiscally responsible, bipartisan effort. It is what everyone of our constituents says we should be doing more of. responsible, thoughtful, bipartisan legislation. We have done our part in the Senate. Now it is up to the House, and Madam President, I hope they move quickly, this week indeed, to get this relief to millions of Americans. And with that, Madam President, I would yield the floor and note the absence of a quorum.
Your thoughts, Justin.
I mean, it's across the board, whether it's the Democrats or Republicans or independents. Our leadership is failing us, and they need to be replaced. And that's the end of the story. Like, you can't say that anybody that sat there that day and listened to Senator Reid speak and didn't stand up and fight against anybody that said, no, we should go on vacation because, you know, we worked hard while people are suffering and can't work when they want to work. No, fuck you. You need to be replaced. Sorry about making you edit something, but it's the
truth. I think that will stay. Now, the thing to me, a key thing that he said was restoring the unemployment benefits is not defensible. You have no reason. It's fiscally responsible. It's bipartisan, at least in the Senate. More than a majority ruled on that vote. Now, April 10th is when Bonner, I played it earlier, he made his, it's up to the White House. The ball's in the administration's court, is what he said. Now, what happened since that time is that was Thursday, last Thursday. They adjourned, and they will not be back in Washington until the 28th.
Yeah.
This is the House. Now, the Senate works a little bit differently. So the House, who has this bill just sitting there collecting dust, will come back on the 28th. They will work until that Thursday. They will have off 4 days. They will reconvene on May 6th. They will work 4 days. They'll actually work a very rare Friday. Then, when they're back on, when they come back on the 6th, they work 4 days and then have off another week. They will adjourn on the 9th, and they will not be back until the 19th. They have 1 week a month that they have off. They call it a constituents week. They go back to their home state, wherever that may be, and speak with their constituents. Now, the thing is, I thought something very, very key happened today because John Bonner is back in Ohio. This is for the Easter recess as well as the constituents week that they're currently on. Now, today, the Secretary of Labor, so a rather high-ranking official, took out a editorial in John Bonner's paper.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what he was saying is we have to move on this. I'll quote here, since the December 2013 deadline came and went, more than 2.3 million people, including 63,141 in Ohio, have been stripped of unemployment benefits that help them keep the lights on and the rent paid. Nearly 69 million of our friends and neighbors have received a hand up from extended unemployment benefits since 2008. Last year, the program lifted about 2.5 million people out of poverty. These benefits also act as an economic stimulus, money that gets spent at local businesses, promoting local growth and local job creation. Now, again, Justin, this is coming from a high-ranking official in our government, the Secretary of Labor. It just baffles me to no end. And if you go even farther into it and you realize the amendments that Bonner wants on this have a lot to do with the Keystone Pipeline that goes through America into Canada. It's oil. And John Bonner, who is worth $1.7 million, has a lot of stock in oil. So I think there is more than meets the eye.
Basically he's playing basically playing with people's lives so he can make money on the back end.
Exactly.
Which reminds me of the whole thing going on over the weekend where you have the farmers in Nevada. You know, they had their cattle grazing, and now government comes along and says, you know, you owe us money, and they're holding them at gunpoint, and they surround the house with SWAT teams and sniper rifles and everything. Well, when you look into it a little further, you know, you can see that what they're trying to do is put down a solar farm. Who owns the solar farm, or who's a big shot in the solar farm? The company that's trying to put the solar farm in? Oh, Harry Reid's kid. Well, there. Now we know the connection of why they really want these people out of there. Not because they owe them a couple thousand dollars in grazing fees. It's because Harry Reid's kid's going to go and make money.
$300,000 to be
$300,000 is chump change to the federal government.
Oh, I understand that.
Millions of dollars lost is a lot of money to Harry Reid's kid.
Be that as it may, as far as the unemployment, see, the Bundy Ranch, when you get into the Bundy Ranch situation, there's just so much more. There's so much going on there. And both sides of the story, it's so, what's the word I'm looking for?
No, all I'm saying is...
The troubling thing, and I'll get your thoughts in just a second, the troubling thing with the Bundy Ranch is it was very close to exploding, very much like a Waco.
Exactly.
And that was scary to me. And either side of it, it's a very scary situation. Luckily, the government stood down.
Yeah.
So, but your thoughts further on Bundy Ranch?
I think it's very much like, and I'm not saying everything the Bundys were doing was 100% legit or whatever.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is you look at what was happening there, and then when you look a little deeper, it's the same thing with Bonner. Oh, well, he wants all of these things done. He's claiming, I want jobs, but yet he's trying to back end something to give him a little something. Like, this is what these people are doing with our lives. You know, they're knocking on the Bundy's door saying, give us your land or your $300,000, which, you know, like I said, is chump change to the federal government. They're saying, give us this or we're kicking you off. When the truth is, they just want them off the land so they could put up the solar farm so the dude's kid can make money.
I haven't looked that far into it. So I'm going to have to research further. Maybe in our next episode we can discuss the Bundy Ranch situation further. Have there been any further developments as far as you know?
Last I heard was
the stand down.
Yeah, the government left, and that was because of, as far as I know, their reasoning, and I can, if it's a legit reason, you know. Finally, good on the government, but their reasoning the official reason that they're claiming is it was just too dangerous because too many people were showing up and protesting.
Yeah, and...
Well, you know what? Good on the American people for standing up for these guys.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, there's a lot going on, whether it's a solar farm, whether it's grazing rights, whether it's states' rights. That is such a multifaceted issue.
I'm a huge. I mean, you know, me as far as my how I stand on gun rights, I'm just as big on states' rights.
Yeah.
I mean, I believe states should, and they don't because of what our government has turned into. But I believe states should have more rights than the federal government ever has.
Let's get back to unemployment just for a second. Now, the thing to me, and I said this, I think it was, we were discussing this about a week ago, I believe, and I said, it's a shame we don't have somebody like LBJ in office. And whatever LBJ did with his foreign plans, throw that out the door. Domestically, he was a bully, got things through, he passed civil rights. He passed Medicare and Medicaid. He passed a lot of things that were fundamentally, at the time, false.
Yes.
In America. Now, you could say the same thing with Obama as far as Obamacare. Which side do you stand on that? He did get that passed through. And that they're still trying to repeal it. But that's besides the point.
Well,
I just wish we had a bully like LBJ.
Yeah.
You know, that.
And you and I, we disagree and agree on some things as far as, you know, the affordable health care stuff. As a personal protection person, I just don't like the loopholes that they have in there that allow local municipalities to disqualify people due to their medical records when they shouldn't be disqualified for a firearm. There's certain things in there that allow that to happen, and that's why I don't agree with a lot of the provisions, which, look, that's my congressman and my senator's fault for not reading the damn thing, because nobody read it. They all said, oh, it was too long. Well, that's your job. Your job is to read this thing that's too long. Your job is to find out what's wrong with it and pick it apart. You're a lawyer. That's what, you know?
Most of them, yes. I do agree that most representatives started out as a lawyer.
Yeah, they're lawyers and doctors. That's what the politicians are.
We're small businessmen like Bonner.
Well, yes. There are the small businessmen who cry thinking about being a small businessman.
Those night shifts. I think he was more or less crying about the night shifts that he had to work.
Yeah. But can we take a break for a moment?
What, do you want to
And then come back to this?
Do a diddly-do?
Yeah, we'll bring on a good friend of mine.
Well, okay. We can do that. Let me, how about the IC Flapjack Bunker by the Mystery Men? How's that sound, Justin?
That sounds amazing.
So,
ladies and gentlemen, this is the IC Flapjack Bunker by the Mystery Men.
All right, that is the Mystery Men with the IC Flapjack Bunker. Make sure you check them out at lucha-rock.com, and the album is Musica Enmascarada. It's $9 available for download. You can hear that and many more sweet sounds. What do you think of the Mystery Men there, Justin?
Every time I hear them, I just fall more and more in love with them. You know, I was saying to myself, Dean, well, I didn't call myself Dean, but I was saying, Justin, if I could be any one musician in the world, it would easily be David Lee Roth, but secondly, it would be the Mystery Men.
El Diablo, specifically, friend
yes.
of the show?
Yeah. Yes, only because I agree with him on 99.99% of the things that he says, because the man is not only a musical genius, but an actual genius.
You know, I do believe that, Justin. Now, the final thing I do want to say about renewing unemployment, besides the fact that it's not defensible, not to, this is the closing paragraph, so the summation, if you will, from Secretary Perez. Of course, he is a labor secretary, and this is what he wrote today. With so many people we know facing so much uncertainty, depleting their savings, and fearful that their dreams are slipping away, it is unconscionable that Congress has sat on its hands this long. To ease hardship and provide some relief in Ohio, Kentucky, and nationwide, the House of Representatives must get a bill to the president's desk immediately. We don't have a moment to waste or a person to lose. So I think that's a good way to wrap it up. But Justin, your final thoughts on this political game that Congress, specifically the House of Representatives, is currently playing?
Well, considering none of those deadbeat, jobless lowlifes out in Ohio and Kentucky even know how to read a newspaper. No, I'm sorry, I was going to the wrong Justin character.
Yeah, you were.
I agree with him. I mean, I think he said it the best. Well, the two of them, but
yeah, Reed, Senator Reed as well.
Yes.
So, I don't understand how you can play with people's lives, and this would be retroactive. So my only question is, unemployment really isn't going drastically down. This is set to expire. This legislation only extends it to May 31st. What happens at the end of May? If this does pass, which is a big if at this point because Bonner's still playing games, however, I think some pressure is getting to him. He put up an Instagram of mowing his lawn, and more than 3,000 people commented on it negatively. But besides that, if it does pass, this only extends and retroactively gives the benefits from December 28th. So you're going to have another firestorm coming May 31st.
Exactly.
And because unemployment,
and what it's going to do...
Unemployment's not going down, as I said. So your thoughts on that, because it's only just begun, really.
No, it's not going anywhere until there's actually a reason for these major corporations or, you know, the banks, the everybody, you know, big business, small business, whatever, to be either motivated or have the financial freedom to open up new jobs and give people jobs and need new positions filled. That's not going to happen unless, you know, Congress and the Senate can actually find a way to stimulate that end of the economy instead of just saying, well, you know, if we give people money, then, you know, they're just going to waste it on booze. No, nobody does that. People in unemployment are people that work. They're just not working at the moment. So they don't waste their money on booze. They waste their money on electric, food, housing, if you want to say they're wasting it. So until there's a reason or the availability of the job creators, which aren't the president, aren't the House, isn't the Senate. It's actually, you know, the major corporations. If they actually have the ability and the reason to create jobs, then they'll be created. Other than that, it's just, you know, we're just going to be on a downward spiral, and you're going to want, and people are just going to want revenge. Speaking of revenge, our next guest is in a movie called Revenge.
Is he available? He's not in.
You were supposed to call him.
I didn't know that, Justin.
I told you that. I said you would be calling.
I didn't know that.
Why would I give you his phone number?
So I could pull it off the switch in case we had more than one. I typically get phone numbers.
We're usually blowing up off the hook.
Well, Wednesdays maybe.
Yes. Every Wednesday night at 9.
HIAC Talk Radio. Now I have the number, so I will be calling him.
I thought that was like our act. We called people.
I prefer call-ins, but you do the answering. It's going to be dialing right now.
Sid, this is my producer, Dean. Dean, this is Sid. Dean, do you have any questions for Sid?
Hello,
Sid.
Dean. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. I will say it's more of a comment, not really a question, but I'm looking forward to seeing Vermillion. I know Damien. I knew him through the wrestling world. I know him now that he's retired. I know Foxy, also known as Veronica, the writer of this project. So I'm looking forward to seeing what this – and, of course, I know Justin. So I'm looking forward to seeing what this project turns into. I'm very excited about it.
And you better say you're most excited about Sid, otherwise Sid will come to your house.
We don't want that now. But we don't want Sid coming to me. I want Sid coming to my house either. That guy scares me. Vermillion, once we get started, you know, I think we're gonna make some serious make a lot of great Matt. You know, it's gonna be a lot of great moments. I believe it's going to be probably one of the best projects we've all have done and put together. And I'm just really, really excited to get ready to start working on this. And I believe we start filming in June. So, you know.
Okay, so it got pushed back a bit?
Well, yeah, I think because...
last I heard was next month.
Yeah, well, I believe last time I spoke to Scott a week ago, I believe he pushed it back to June because he wanted to, there was a few locations that, you know, he had to lock in.
Okay.
I believe everything is locked in now. So, you know, which, you know, hey, you know, if you start filming in June, it gives everyone a little more time just to really get everything prepped and ready. Because we all know, you know, pre-production, you know, it's a pain in the butt. You know, you have to make sure all your ducks are in the row. You know,
yeah,
so once we start filming, everything should run smoothly, hopefully.
And that's one of the things I'm learning the hard way.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, the thing is also is that, you know, you can't be too impatient with things. You know, if you rush them, they don't quite go as well as you want them to. So, you know, I believe he's doing everything in the right time, in the right fashion. And once we start filming, you know, we're going to make some movie magic.
Oh, no. I mean, as far as I'm learning that it's a juggling act. I mean, you have a family, so you know the juggling act between that and,
It's definitely not an easy... You know, it's definitely not easy. I mean, you know, you have to be really, you know, it's hard, man, to juggle, you know, acting, working, taking care of your family, you know, trying to build your career, trying to, you know, build a better life for you and your family. You know, everything's a battle. Everything's a struggle. But I believe, you know, the harder you work, you know, the payoff will, you know, and it's not just in money. I'm just talking about in reward as in, you know, the work you do, just, you know, how you feel about your everyday life and what you've accomplished is much more rewarding than, you know, I mean, money comes in great if, you know, once you start making it, but, you know, everything's a struggle.
That's not to get off on like a, you know, Sid is great trip. though, you know, he is the second best guy in the movie after me. But anyway, his great trip. But that's one of the things that, you know, after one of the days that we did filming up in New York, we gave Don and I, he hitched a ride back with us, and we spent 2 hours just BSing on the road and blah blah blah.
Yeah.
On the way back, Don and I, that was one of the things that we talked about, why we liked you so much, is that, like, you're just this honest, down-to-earth guy that just wants to work hard no matter what he does.
Yeah.
And it shows in your work.
Well, you know, I greatly appreciate it. Thank you.
So if you're and you want to hire a great actor, hire Sid O'Connell.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you so much. Greatly appreciate it.
Now, I do have a question now. Now, in Pain of Revenge Story,
yes.
What part are you playing in that?
Oh, my character name is Sid. Far-fetched,
oh,
huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. My character name is Sid. He is actually the mob boss Rico, which character's name is Rico, his right-hand man. I do some serious. I have a lot of great scenes. I have six pretty big scenes in the movie. I do cause a bit of damage. He's just the character's very cold-hearted, you know, no care. You know, he's just a thug. You know, he's just a heartless bastard, you know?
Okay. When is that coming out? That's Thursday, right?
Well, we're having a premiere Thursday, April 17th in the Anthology Theater in Manhattan. No, it's actually, they just posted it today, this morning, that it was officially sold out.
Oh, good for you guys. Good for you guys.
Yeah, very excited. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a packed house. You know, we're expecting some industry people to come. I'm really looking forward just to seeing everyone, because I've watched the film already. I saw it a month ago. We had a special screening just for the actors. And I'm just really looking forward to getting everyone's reaction to this film.
Now, where can people follow Vermillion if they want to keep in touch with things?
Sure, you can follow me. I mean, I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Facebook under Sid O'Connell. I have my regular page, and then my fan page is under Sid O'Connell. I'm on Instagram, which is BigSid65. I'm on Twitter as well as BigSid65. And Vermillion is you can follow Vermillion on Facebook page. Also, they're on Instagram and they're on Twitter by the same name.
All right. Sounds good. I want to thank you so much for your time.
I
appreciate the call. Oh, my pleasure. I had a great time. You know, this is awesome.
Next time you have a project coming out, let us know and we'll have you back on.
Definitely.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate it, guys.
Just without the headset.
No problem. I will fly before the headset. Well, listen, guys, I appreciate you guys calling me and let me have an opportunity to promote Pain and Vermillion. And I wish you two the very best as well. And, Justin,
well,
I will
normally,
see you soon on set.
Yeah, no, well, normally Don is here doing the interviews. He's better at it. That's why it hasn't been
well,
the easiest.
You know what, Justin, my friend?
So.
Listen, I believe you did a great job, my friend. And this is literally my very first interview. So I appreciate you guys taking the time to let me do this.
First of many. We'll have you back.
The first of many. All right, my friend. Listen, I will see you on set. You have a wonderful evening. And thank you again so much.
Absolutely.
All right. You have a good night, Sid.
All right, buddy. You guys.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Great. He's coming to your house now, and he's going to beat you up.
Well, these things happen, Justin.
This man has arms the size of trash cans, Dean. Trash cans.
I can believe it. Now, Sid O'Connell, as he said, you can follow him at BigSid65 on Twitter, and you can get all the updates. That's really exciting. It's sold out at the Anthology Theater, and that's really exciting.
Very exciting. I mean, I knew it was something. I can't wait. It's weird for me seeing my friends in things, like even doing the wrestling stuff. Unless someone's like, "Hey, you know, could you check out my match to critique it or whatever?" if I pick up, you know, if someone comes over and they're like, hey, you know, let's check out the show or whatever, and they pull up a DVD and it's, you know, of an indie show or whatever, and I know a guy, it's weird for me to watch that.
But, or listen, I've noticed.
That's a different story, Dean.
Or listen.
It's hard for me to listen to people I don't like, and you have that Cujo on there, and I don't like that guy.
True. How do you think I feel working with him every week?
Well, good thing he's in, you know, East Jabumble wherever, and you know, you're up here in the mediocre state of New Jersey.
Indeed. Now, the final thing I do want to talk about, Justin.
Otherwise, you have to smell him.
He smells like butter and Cheez-Its.
I was thinking pepperoni pizza and Mountain Dew, but butter and Cheez-Its is probably fairly accurate.
Fairly accurate. Now, the last thing I did to talk about.
Sorry.
Why are you sweating so much?
Yeah, stop it, Cujo. All right, he's not here to defend himself.
That's true. This is the
I really like Dan Law 83 at Dan Law 83, but it's kind of our bit. We like to break each other's balls.
Now, John Panette, stand-up comedian, unfortunately, I think, in my view, is most well-known for being the fat guy that was mugged in the series finale of Seinfeld. That was John Panette.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Now you know who he is.
Now I know who he is.
But John
Panette, all I know is one of my friends, he's one of my friend's uncles.
You know what? If you can get your friend on for the next show, that'd be great. You know, we could give him a proper send-off. Because I think John Panette was a really good, clean, for the most part. He would say a few curse words here and there, but he's not like the Reverend Bob Levy. I'll put it that way.
Well, I would, but it's one of those friends that wouldn't do good on radio because he'd constantly try and talk over us.
Oh.
It would be like Donald with AD. It would be like Don with ADD.
So, Don.
Yeah.
So John Panette unfortunately passed away April 5th. And again, this kind of got swept with all the warrior talk and all the Mickey Rooney. It just was one of those things. He was 50 years old, and he died April 5th in Pittsburgh in a hotel room. Now, he had a great career. He did undergo gastric bypass surgery for a while. Let's see. I'm just scanning through his obituary here. But he did do a lot of Comedy Central shows. You can actually, if you're so inclined, you can actually go to Netflix, and they have I'm Starving by
okay.
John Panette. Is there?
That's actually one of his. That one's amazing. I'm sorry. I love that. That stand-up.
Yeah. So he was a very good stand-up comedian. Not only that, he was in Parker Lewis Can't Lose, looks like a bit part. He was in Hairspray, it looks like, on stage. That was a national tour. So supporting roles in Simon Says, are you familiar with that?
No.
How about this one, The Punisher, the 2004 with Thomas Jane?
That is one of my favorite movies of all time, and I know who he plays.
There you go. So that's John Panette. Unfortunately, he did pass away. I do want to play.
Plays the guy that makes the pasta.
Oh, really?
Yep.
I'll have to check that out because I was a huge fan. I do have to admit, I was a big fan of stand-up comedy, and unfortunately, I got out of it. I don't know, 5-10 years ago, but I used to.
You were a stand-up comedian?
No. I was a big fan. I would go to comedy clubs and stuff.
Dude, that's what I do. I kind of half listen.
Yeah.
Fortunately, it's you, and I know that you're actually saying something important. Otherwise, if it was Cujo, I wouldn't even be listening at all, and I'd be talking about something completely different.
But I never got to see him on stage, getting back to my original point, Justin. But he was really gifted, and I do want to play this clip. This is his Chinese buffet clip. It's one of his most famous bits. It's about 5 minutes, but it's worth a listen. You'll enjoy some laughs, and then we'll come back and we'll wrap up this week's show. How's that
sound,
Justin?
All right. Sounds good.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here because I was just in Las Vegas, so I need the money. a lot of money. I really did. I mean, I get them back at the buffet, don't get me wrong. $9.95, all you can eat. We'll see who wins this friggin' handout, won't we? I do believe I have blackjack. I was at the prime rib counter going, hit me again. The buffet manager was horrified. You should have seen him. He looked like a deer caught in the headlights. Get the prime rib back in the kitchen. Finally, he just gave me my money back. Here's your $1,000. Get out! Actually, they have a buffet in Las Vegas. It's called the Oz Buffet. It's the Wizard of Oz theme. And it's a buffet. You walk up and it's the Emerald City. And it's an all-you-can-eat buffet. I ran to it. Yeah, how did the witcher, how did the doctor, how did the night? Step into the sun, step into the light. Prime ribs and pork chops and scampi. Oh, my. Prime ribs and pork chops and scampi. Oh, my. You know, I talk about buffets not because I'm a big guy. No, I'm actually writing a book, Around the World in 80 Buffets. And in my research, I found that there are some foods that shouldn't be all you can eat. Like Chinese food shouldn't be all you can eat. Because you get hungry again. I don't know what it is. They put something in it. They must. Because I order takeout, they're always real happy. Oh, he's going to be back. I give that big boy 1 hour. Because you do get hungry again. What is it, too? And you go from full to starving. There's nothing in between. You go from, oh, my God, I can't believe I ate all that chow mein. Hey, look, they brought egg rolls. So I went to this Chinese all-you-can-eat buffet, and, well, the owner, he got pissed. I mean, he was rude, though. He'd come out every hour. Son of a bitch still here. Look, he go again. He started screaming at me. You're gone now. You're here 4 hours. Why you're here 4 hours? You not come here anymore. Why you have spare rib? You're so big. Eat vegetable. Eat broccoli. You scare my wife. Love Chinese food shouldn't be all you can eat. Now, Japanese food. For the book, I went to an all-you-can-eat sushi place. All the raw stuff I can eat, huh? It was $22.95. $22.95 for raw fish. $22.95, you throw this on the grill. $22.95, I can't eat a dollar's worth. I brought a seal. I put them right under the table. Another plate, please. That seal ate buckets full. The owner thought I was eating it all, though. Got yelled at again. This guy scared me, though. He reminded me of Lord Torunaga from Shogun. You! Big boy! Big boy, come here! You eat like free! That's you eat like Free Willy.
So that was one of John Panette's most famous bits. And, you know, it's really kind of, it's really sad because I thought he was a comedian that had a lot to offer. And, you know, a lot of comedians, they get their own sitcoms, that sort of thing. He never had that chance. And he was certainly, and you can tell just in that 5-minute clip, he was certainly talented enough to, but unfortunately it just never got
Mid to late 90s, he's one of those guys that I always kind of looked out for. Like, when's this guy going to get his sitcom? When's this guy going to get a sitcom? And then they, you know, 2000s, they kind of started fading away from the sitcom thing, and it was like, oh, when's this? I guess he's not, you know?
Yeah, and it's unfortunate because, you know, very successful comedian, like I said, had a lot of specials on Comedy Central and whatnot. I do want to make note of a few things, Justin, as we wrap up. Netflix, new to Netflix, two of my favorite films, Justin. We talked about Pain, A Revenge Story, earlier tonight. One of the original revenge stories, Death Wish, with Charles Bronson, is now available.
Charlie Bronson.
Oh, my God.
Not only does he star in Death Wish, which is one of the greatest movies of all time.
Indeed.
He also stars in Once Upon a Time in the West,
yes.
One of the greatest westerns of all time.
I can agree with that. I'm a little...
Along with Peter Fonda. Oh,
I kind of fall into the category of the Clint Eastwood spaghetti western.
The Sergio Leone movies are the best. But besides the Sergio Leone movies,
I would agree with that.
Yeah,
I would certainly agree. But The Odd Couple's back on, so Death Wish 1 and 2, The Odd Couple, a classic Lemon and Matthau film. All the Rocky movies, not the newer ones that came out, but Rocky, the original, all the way to 5 is on there now.
Also, since we're talking about Netflix,
sure.
My father's big into documentaries. He actually produces documentaries on the side. And he told me about a movie that I wanted to bring up to you because I'm sure you've seen it, and you may have told me I have to watch it. It's called Best Worst Movie.
That's a documentary?
Yes.
And... I have not seen it, but I have seen it on Netflix Instant.
Yeah, he said it's one of, like, the most insane movies he's ever seen.
I'll have to check it out.
It's a documentary on the movie Troll 2, which isn't really a sequel to the movie Troll. It's just kind of like the best worst movie is just explains the making of this movie and the repercussions of this movie. From what I hear, there's people in it that just they saw like the first 5 minutes of the movie, walked out, and refused to ever admit that they were in the movie.
Wow. You know, it's a strange thing because filmmaking is a very strange medium to work with. And what I mean by that is no one intends to make a poor film.
No. Well,
it doesn't start out that well. But most cases,
yes.
The case is you want to make something you're proud of, something the actors can be proud of, and that sort of thing.
Yeah, because, I mean, there may be a case here and there where it's meant to be that way as a gag.
As a gag, but I'm saying even then you're trying to – that's what you're trying to do.
Yeah, you're putting on a work at that point.
Yeah, like – for example, Airplane isn't one of the greatest movies ever made, but it's one of the greatest comedies ever made. And it was meant to be that. But my point is, it's a collaborative effort. You as an actor do your part. The director does their part, the editor. And something can go amiss in any of those roles. And the trouble with a film is it takes so long to complete. And sometimes you might have even wrapped your shoot. You can't go back and get more footage 9 times out of 10. You can't go back and reshoot things and get things that you need. So when you get to the editing room and you have footage.
Sometimes you just kind of got to wing it.
Exactly, and that's the trouble with filmmaking. I mean, when it works great. But when, I mean, this happened to me. In college, we made a film, Silk City Diner, and it was pretty much Clerks in a Diner. That gives you...
It wasn't Silk Stockings in a Diner?
No, unfortunately. Oh. I would have preferred that, quite frankly. But it's just a funny story about on set there. We had a scene where a girl came in by herself, and she was waiting there for her. It was a blind date, and she was waiting for a blind date, and she had a soliloquy, where a monologue, if you will, where she was just simply talking to herself about, you know, this time it's going to work out, you know, the guy will be a good guy, and we wanted her very emotional, to cry, and she couldn't get the tears to come. And we're like trying to make her cry, you know, dead puppies and stuff like that, trying to make her cry, and it wasn't working. Instead, but she had a really good sense of humor, so she would laugh at the stupid stuff we were saying. We were actually filming in a diner. We had an after-hours diner. It was a breakfast diner in Bridgeton, New Jersey. Angie's Diner, for those, it's since burned down. We had nothing to do with it. But it was a functional diner, so they had chopped onions. And we put the chopped onions underneath her eyes in trying to make her cry. Now, the trouble with chopped onions, all what makes you cry, it's already done,
yeah,
the effect. So basically she has like all these, you know, chopped onions underneath her eyes. It's not making her cry. She looks silly. She's trying to smell the container of onions. It was We did make her cry, but it was a very good scene, regardless. And it actually had probably my favorite line ever. And I'm not going to elaborate. I'm just going to say what the line is. The guy finally shows up. He puts on a rubber glove, snaps it, and says, "I'm here for the fisting." And a great scene. Her horror, because she didn't know what the line was, and because we wanted the true reaction to that. To that scene. So with her horror that was expressed on her face was, if you don't know what that means, and I suggest you do a Google search, you'll have a fun evening ahead of you. But
the horror.
That was our Kevin Smith moment for that film. And, that actually went to an awards. There was a college Emmys, not Emmys, a college Oscars is what they call it. It went to the awards. We never heard from them, strangely enough. Never heard back from the college Oscars. I don't know why. But my point is, you don't know what you have sometimes until you get to the editing booth. And... I don't know where that came from or anything, but I was just relaying a life tale, Justin.
I've seen horrors. Horrors that you've
Stop
seen.
It. We still got to film that.
But you have no right to call me a murderer. You have a right to kill me. You have a right to do that.
We still have to film this scene, Justin.
But you have no right to judge me.
Justin, can I bring you back for a second?
It's impossible for words.
You're
going to
keep,
you
know, are you going to keep up
necessary.
With this? Son of a... No, but my point is you don't know what you're getting
when you get
to the editing booth sometimes, unfortunately. And we were actually using... Well, no, we were using DV cassettes. So that...
And I thought, my God, the genius of that.
Yeah, it was a professional setup, you know, lights and... Yeah, it was a good time. Miss college sometimes. But enough of that. We talked about renewing unemployment tonight. We also talked about Mickey Rooney passing away, John Panette passing away, and we had a guest, Sid O'Connell. Check him out at Big Sid 65. He's also part of Vermillion, the movie. Check that out on Facebook, Vermillion Movie. And Justin, you're going to have to do the Twitter.
Hopefully next show. We can get our dean's personal friend, Christian Slater, on.
You know, I tried calling. You know, true story, I did reach out to Emily Kinney from The Walking Dead.
Well, true story, you are personal friends with Christian Slater.
Well, true story. But I did reach out to Emily Kinney from The Walking Dead. She plays Beth, and unfortunately her management group had to turn respectfully or politely turn me down.
Did you get an email for that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Next show, we have to read that live to Christian Slater, because you're going to get Christian Slater.
I'll try. Why? All right. I'll try to contact his management. See, it's so much easier, the independents and MMA fighters and stuff, you just contact them directly.
Yeah.
When you have somebody in Hollywood, it's like, oh, my God, you have to go through their management, you have to go through their agent, you have to go. You remember, Bo was actually the last show we did. Bo was very easy to get. I just asked him because I broke down that middleman.
Yeah.
But, my God.
He has people that you know, it could have been where he was like, oh, you got to go through my people. Like,
no, he was more than happy to do it, too.
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying he could have been that way.
Oh, definitely.
Bo's not that type of a guy, but he could have been that way.
But what I was getting to, when we set up Rachel Faulkner, who's also part of Hillbilly Horror Show, that was a back-and-forth thing between four people. It was between Rachel, her agent, her representation, Tara, from Tara's Independent Voice, and me. So it was a back-and-forth. Oh, and it was like, well, can she do it? And it was just back-and-forth, back-and-forth, back-and-forth. But luckily, those were two good interviews.
Yeah.
I really enjoy both of them.
So I would say we're 3 for 3.
Oh, certainly, certainly. I'm glad we did this tonight. There was a little uncertainty going into it. But, you know, check out Big Sid. Check out Vermillion the Movie on all its different – and it's spelled kind of weird. No,
it's right? Spelled right.
Yeah, Vermillion Movie.
You would think there'd be two L's if you're dyslexic like me, but there's only one.
Well, if there were two and you were dyslexic, they would just switch place, wouldn't they?
Yeah. That was the joke.
Well, when God closes a door, you know, just go right through it, because that's what doors do. You know how people say, you know, when God closes a door, open a window or some nonsense?
Yeah.
Well, why can't you just open up the damn door that already closed?
Exactly.
Unless he locked it, but then you can get an axe and chop that son of a bitch down.
Yeah.
Justin, it's always a pleasure. I like these shows better without Donnie. We might have to rethink the personnel.
I mean, if Don can't get Christian Slater and you come through with Christian Slater, I think we know where we're going with that.
Justin, where could the five people find you?
They could find me at AWSOM82 on Twitter. They can also find me at AWSOM82 on the PSN. I'll accept your friend request. I may not play games with you, but I will. No, I'm kidding. if you want to play games with me, I will be more than happy to play.
Now, when's your next Twitch broadcast?
Actually, I've been thinking about bringing that back. I would say sometime this week.
Awesome.
I will get that info out there through my Twitter, and I'm sure Dean will either ignore it or retweet it, depending on if he likes me more than Cujo.
Well, I guess it will be retweeted then. Now, you can also follow Moose Knuckle Entertainment at Moose
K-E.
And there's also a website, mooseke.com. So check out both of those places.
If you like Kenny Loggins, you will like either of those places.
Stop at the Kenny Loggins. The new episode will be Kenny Loggins, the new intro. No blast from the past next time. Now, you can follow me. I am the Dean of Credibility, Double D. And you can find me at Folsom County, of course, at Folsom County. And that's Folsomcounty. I think people don't know where that is. I don't know. You can also follow the official Twitter at HIC Talk Radio. That's the network. We put out a lot of things there. I was tweeting under my own account tonight, though, and there seems to be some good feedback. Mystery Men retweeted. Vermillion retweeted some things. Seems that worked tonight. Make sure you also check out HIACTalkRadio.com, and we have a whole host of places that you can shop. Once you get there, on the left or the right, depending on where you are, You could go to T-Fury, just click on the picture there, MMA Warehouse.
Is that like if you're in America or Australia, the toilet flush is different type thing, or?
It depends on what page you're on. If you're on the latest posts, then it will be on your left. If you're on the home page, it will be on the right.
And you have a commercial on there for yourself.
For myself?
Yeah, bulldozing the competition.
Oh, yeah, that's on the...
I wonder who made that. I bet whoever did that was very talented.
It was ingenious, whoever it was, whoever the creative mind was behind that. But on the left or the right, depending on which page you're on, you will see on the sidebar, you will see T-Fury, just click there, MMA Warehouse, our newest STDcheck.com, 15-minute STD checking. It's 100% confidential and CLIA certified. Just click there. And, you know, if you were in New Orleans last week for WrestleMania, had some fun, you know, with the Lady of the Night, maybe you want to get yourself checked. Just click there. There's a $10 coupon on some of the posts. You'll have to find out which post because, frankly, I forget. And you can also keep up to date with all the shows. We're going to have this show posted there for you as well. Maybe that's where you're listening to it. But
there's also an advertisement for Beckett Hockey.
Yes, Beckett Media, you can click there. You can get – that's all the pricing, and if you want to get your baseball collectibles or hockey collectibles graded, what's the difference between mint and near mint? Well, send it off to Beckett, and they'll do it for you.
You know, I got to say, and Dean is the producer. He handles all of the advertising, you know, so – I don't have to advert, and he's never told me I have to push any of the products.
No.
I don't have to do any of these, but I did say to Dean the other day, I don't know if you remember this, you were very busy, and it was raining. I think if I ever do return to the Squared Circle, I would go to MMA Warehouse and buy some gear from there, because they do have very nice stuff.
And right now, they're on any of the posts, they do have 15% off. Click there. You can use the code that is in the post to save 15%. So think about that, too. Also, there is a link to the HIAC eBay. And right now we have three different things that you can purchase if you're so inclined. The Greatest Rivalries from Ring of Honor from 2008. It was a DVD that came out. And it's very odd. I didn't realize how good this DVD was until I put it up for sale. I don't think I watched it. That's what I'm getting at. But needless to say, there's actually a match. Some of our listeners may want to take note, but it was a Team Ring of Honor versus Team CZW. Now, one of the members on Team Ring of Honor has gone on to find success in the WWE as Cesaro. Actually, he was Team CZW. I'm sorry. It's Adam Pearce. This is Team Ring of Honor. Adam Pearce, Ace Steel, Colt Cabana, and BJ Whittemer. And they took on the man who later became Cesaro, Super Dragon, Necro Butcher, and Spider Nate Webb. So you have that. Also, another guy who has gone on to see some great success. It was the finale of a best of three match series. Bryan Danielson took on Austin Aries. And if you don't know who Bryan Danielson is...
That Austin Aries has gone places.
If you don't know who Bryan Danielson is, like Justin, then, you know, you might have that same response. But plenty of things to do on HICTalkRadio.com. Justin, it's always a pleasure. Let's make sure Donnie is unavailable again next time, because I certainly do enjoy doing these with you.
Absolutely.
Until next time, Justin.
Until next time, Dean.